All right, so today we're going to do a deep dive into something pretty interesting.
Okay.
It's a Supreme Court case. It's called Jacob Siegel Co. Federal Trade Commission. It's from 1946.
Oh, vintage.
Yeah, kind of old school. You might be thinking like
why?
Why do we care?
Yeah.
But it actually deals with some really, really important stuff that's still relevant to this day.
Yeah.
It's about the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC.
Right.
And how far they can go when they're trying to stop deceptive advertising.
I see. So like their powers and the limits on their powers.
Exactly. Yeah. So the big question is, when the FTC finds a company's being misleading with their advertising or even a trade name,
mm-hmm.
can they just immediately shut it down, like ban it completely? Or do they have to consider less extreme solutions?
Okay, that makes sense. That's a pretty big deal for businesses, right?
Totally. And to really dig into this, we've got some super helpful sources lined up. We've got detailed case briefs, some specific guidance on how to approach this case for a podcast audience,
oh, cool.
and even a perplexity analysis.
Wow, that's thorough.
Yeah, we're going to like really break this down. So let's get into the nitty gritty of this case, the Jacob Siegel case. It all starts with a company, Jacob Siegel Company. They were selling coats.
Coats, okay.
But they weren't just any coats. They were selling them under this fancy name, Alpacuna.
Alpacuna. I mean, it sounds pretty luxurious.
It does, certainly.
Yeah, like you hear that and you think high quality, maybe even vicuña wool.
Yeah, like you think of those really soft, expensive coats.
Exactly. So was there vicuña wool in these coats?
That's the catch. There wasn't any vicuña wool at all.
Oh, really?
Nope. The coats were actually a mix of different materials, like alpaca, mohair, wool, cotton, the usual suspects.
But no vicuña.
No vicuña. And the FTC saw this name, Alpacuna, and they saw the actual makeup of the coats, and they were like, wait a minute, this is misleading.
Yeah, I could see why they'd say that. The name definitely implies there's vicuña in there.
Right. So they decided that this name, Alpacuna, was deceptive because it gave consumers this false impression, like they were getting something super high-end when they weren't.
So what did they do about it?
Well, they hit Jacob Siegel Company with a cease and desist order. But here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
This wasn't just a, hey, you need to clarify your labels kind of thing. The FTC's order completely banned Jacob Siegel Co. from using the name Alpacuna at all. Like, they couldn't use it anywhere.
Wow, a full-on ban. That's pretty serious.
Yeah, it was pretty extreme response. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, you can't say it has vicuña if it doesn't. But to completely take away their brand name, that's a whole other level.
Right, like that name probably had some value to the company. They built up recognition around it.
Absolutely, and that's something the Supreme Court picked up on later. So, of course, Jacob Siegel Company wasn't too happy about this.
I bet.
They challenged the FTC's order, and the case went up to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay, so they were fighting back.
Yeah, they were definitely pushing back. And the Third Circuit actually sided with the FTC at first.
Huh, so they upheld the ban.
They did. But then it went up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, they weren't necessarily interested in whether the name was deceptive or not. They were more focused on the severity of the punishment.
I see. They were like, okay, maybe the name is a bit misleading, but was a total ban the right way to go?
Exactly. So the big question in front of the Supreme Court was, did the FTC overstep their boundaries by just going straight for the nuclear option? You know, banning the name completely.
Right, instead of trying something a little less drastic.
Yeah, like maybe there were some other solutions, some middle ground.
And what did the Supreme Court say?
Well, they sided with Jacob Siegel Company on this one.
Okay.
They basically said, hey, FTC, you can't just automatically go for the most extreme remedy without considering other options first. So they didn't overturn the FTC's finding that the name was deceptive, but they did say that the FTC needs to explore other possibilities before just wiping out a company's brand name.
So they were telling the FTC to pump the brakes a little bit.
Exactly. They sent the case back down to the lower courts, what they call a remand, to reconsider the penalty.
Got it. So the Supreme Court wasn't saying, this name is totally fine, let them use it. They were saying, think about it a little more carefully. There might be a better way to handle this.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Now, you're probably wondering, why did the Supreme Court do this? What was their reasoning behind this decision?
Well, the majority opinion was written by Justice Douglas, and he laid out a few really important arguments.
Okay, let's hear them.
So first, he acknowledges that the FTC has a lot of discretion in choosing how to deal with deceptive practices.
That makes sense. They're the experts, right?
Right. They see a ton of these cases, they understand the ins and outs of advertising, and they're supposed to be the ones who figure out how to protect consumers.
Okay, so the court is saying, The FTC has a lot of power in these situations.
Exactly. But, and this is a big but, that power isn't unlimited.
Okay, there's got to be some limits.
Yeah, there are. And Justice Douglas, he emphasizes that the FTC's chosen remedies, the ways they choose to address these problems, have to be reasonably related to the problem itself.
So it's like the punishment has to fit the crime.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. You wouldn't bring in a SWAT team to deal with a parking ticket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Don't bring out the big guns unless you absolutely have to.
Right. And that leads us to Justice Douglas's second point. He says that trade names, brand names, these are valuable assets for companies.
Oh, for sure. Companies spend a lot of time and money building up their brands, their reputation.
Absolutely. And to just completely destroy that, it can have some pretty serious consequences for a business.
It can put them out of business, right?
Absolutely. So the court's basically saying that destroying a company's brand name should be a last resort. It shouldn't be the first thing the FTC jumps to unless there's really no other way to fix the problem.
So they're saying the FTC should try to find less drastic solutions before going for the kill shot.
Exactly. And Justice Douglas, he puts it pretty succinctly in the opinion. He says, and I'm quoting here, destruction should not be ordered if less drastic means accomplish the same result.
Okay, so he's really emphasizing that the FTC needs to explore other options before resorting to just wiping out a brand name.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important principle for anyone to understand, not just lawyers and businesses. Administrative agencies, they have a lot of power, and it's important that they use that power responsibly and fairly.
Right. It's about finding the right balance between protecting consumers and not overstepping their bounds.
Exactly.
So in this case, what did the Supreme Court think the FTC could have done differently? Like, what would have been a less drastic solution?
Well, the court kind of hinted at a pretty simple solution. They mentioned the use of qualifying language.
What do you mean by qualifying language?
So instead of completely banning the name Alpacuna, maybe Jacob Siegel Company could keep using the name, but add a disclaimer.
Put a little note saying, hey, by the way, this doesn't actually have any vicuña wool in it.
Exactly. Something like contains no vicuña or made with alpaca, mohair, wool, and cotton would have been enough to clear up any confusion for consumers without destroying the company's brand.
It does seem like a pretty obvious solution when you think about it. Why didn't the FTC just do that in the first place?
I don't know. I guess sometimes they get so focused on stopping deceptive practices that they don't always think about the most practical or least damaging way to do it. And that's why the courts are there, to provide that check and balance, to make sure agencies aren't acting arbitrarily or unfairly.
It's like a second set of eyes making sure things are done right.
Exactly. And in this case, the Supreme Court made it very clear that reviewing courts have the power to really look at what the FTC is doing and even modify their orders if they need to.
So they're not just rubber stamping the FTC's decisions. They're actually making sure they're making sense.
Yeah, they have a responsibility to scrutinize what these agencies are doing and make sure they're staying within their limits and using their power responsibly.
So it sounds like the Supreme Court was really trying to strike a balance here. Protect consumers, but also protect businesses from being unfairly penalized.
Exactly. It's about finding that middle ground, protecting consumers from being misled, while also recognizing that businesses have a right to build and protect their brands.
It's a tough job, for sure.
It is, but it's an important one.
So this case, this Jacob Siegel case, it wasn't just about coats and fancy names. It established a really important legal principle, didn't it?
It did. It gave us the reasonable relation test.
Okay, break that down for me. What is the reasonable relation test?
It basically means that when the FTC finds that a company is doing something deceptive, the way they choose to fix it has to be reasonably related to the actual deception.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and this case also really emphasized that the FTC has to consider less extreme solutions before going straight for a ban. They can't just hit the nuclear button right away. They have to show that they've thought about other options and have a good reason for choosing the most drastic one.
So this case actually put some real limits on the FTC's power. It's not just some obscure legal thing that happened back in the 40s. It's still relevant today, right?
Absolutely. This reasonable relation test, it's still used today to make sure the FTC is acting fairly and proportionately. It protects businesses from being unfairly punished, and it helps ensure that the FTC is focusing on actually protecting consumers, not just wielding its power arbitrarily.
So what happened after the Supreme Court sent the case back down? Did Jacob Siegel Company end up having to change their name completely? Or did they manage to keep Alpacuna with a disclaimer?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, our sources don't go into detail about what happened after the remand.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, no, it would be interesting to see how it all played out. But even though we don't know the final outcome, the Supreme Court's message was pretty clear. They basically told the FTC, hey, take a good hard look at whether a disclaimer would work in this case. They were pushing the FTC to consider a less drastic solution.
So it sounds like Jacob Siegel Company probably got to keep their brand name, but maybe they had to add a little something to clarify that their coats didn't actually contain vicuña wool.
Yeah, that's very likely what happened. The Supreme Court really steered the FTC towards a more moderate solution.
Okay, so to wrap things up, what's the big takeaway from this whole Jacob Siegel deep dive?
I think the big takeaway is that even when agencies like the FTC are trying to do the right thing, protect consumers from deceptive practices, they still have to act fairly and proportionately. They can't just use their power to destroy a company without considering other, less drastic options.
It's about finding that balance.
Right? Yeah, finding that sweet spot where you're protecting consumers, but also recognizing the rights of businesses and the value of their brands.
Makes sense.
And I think this case also raises a really interesting question for our listeners to think about, especially in today's world where there are so many new ways to communicate information online.
Yeah, like through websites and social media and all that.
Exactly. So the question is, what are some creative ways that regulators could use these new technologies to address deceptive practices without resorting to outright bans? You know, could they use interactive disclaimers or pop-ups with more detailed information or even embedded videos to clarify things for consumers?
It's like finding new tools for the FTC's toolbox.
Right? Yeah, using technology to strike that balance even more effectively. It's a fascinating area to think about. And the principles that were established in this Jacob Siegel case way back in 1946, they're still shaping these discussions today.
It's amazing how a case from so long ago can still be so relevant.
It is. It shows how important it is to have these checks and balances on government power to make sure things are being done fairly and that everyone's rights are being protected.
Well, on that note, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Jacob Siegel Co. v. Federal Trade Commission. It's been a fascinating exploration of the FTC's powers and the importance of proportionality in regulation.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to geek out about these legal issues with you.
And to our listeners, we hope you found this deep dive informative and thought-provoking. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into the fascinating world of legal cases.
Sure, yeah.